everybody, it's Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man. And if you want to have a priceless experience, then you'll stay tuned to Mega Powers Radio. And remember, everybody's got a price for the Million Dollar Man.
It's shaking, Mega Maniacs. It's Monday, October 26th. We are one night removed from Hell in a Cell, and you have tuned into the most interactive post-Raw experience available, the Raw Post Show here on MegaPowersRadio.com. It's been an exciting night for Monday Night Raw. We have a new number one contender crowned. The Wyatt family have abducted another person. As I said, we're one night removed from the highly controversial Hell in a Cell pay-per-view. We got lots to get into here. We want to get all of you involved with this show as we're going along the way. I'm going to tell you a little bit how you could do that in just a moment. But first, let me tell you how you could support the Raw Post Show and Mega Powers Radio. And it's best way you could do that is by finding us on Patreon. That's patreon.com. Go on there and search for Mega Powers Radio, where you can subscribe for as little as $1 to give a donation every month, and you will be able to help us keep bringing you all the cool shows we do, like the Raw Post Show, the All Talk Show. We've been doing pay-per-view post shows, which if you didn't join us last night for Hell in a Cell, you missed a good time. We're going to be doing those going forward as well, so make sure you are joining us. Stay tuned for the Mega Maniacs Facebook group to see when those go up. I also got to give a shout out to Caleb Wiggins, who actually gave us a new donation this week. So you got a number of people growing on the supporters list there. If you're listening, please support. You know, it helps us do this. We do this for free every single week, ad free. The only thing you hear is either Ted DiBiase or Sergeant Slaughter trying to shill the radio station name at the beginning, if they can get it right. So please give generously. You can also support us by subscribing to us on iTunes, Stitcher Radios, TuneIn Radio, YouTube, and by finding all those places on SmartGoutMoment.com. Tell your friends, tell your not friends, tell anybody you know that may be interested in this type of show, because the more people tuning in, the better. And as I said, if you want to get involved all throughout the night, we want to hear your questions, your opinions about last night's Hell in a Cell, as well as tonight's Raw. Submit them to us. Best way to do that, pick up your phone, dial in area code 760-512-7247. Get yourself in line. We're going to be opening up those phone lines around 11:30. Sooner you call, though, the sooner you will get on, but we will try to find time for every single person during the show. So please, if you want to get your voice heard, dial in. You could also use Skype by hitting the Skype icon at the top of the page, or you can join us via the chat room, which is already filled with lots of cool cats, cool cows. Yeah, call them cool cows. Why not? Call our fans cows. If you join yourself in there, there's actually two conversations going on, the folks in the chat room and us here on the show. So if you are only listening to us, you are only getting half of the fun. Shout outs to the folks who got in here nice and early. We got Kaylin Ferris, Grapple This Productions, already in the chat room, Kenneth Cade, Silent Wind of Doom, and Wazili and Mysticata. Good friend, Mysticata. Kaylin Ferris in the chat room asking, how many special callers will we have tonight? Every caller is special. We appreciate every single person who calls in to the Raw Post Show here on Mega Powers Radio. In the meantime, we're going to get things kicked off with just us hosts here. My name is Mike Payton. I am the station director here, and I'm the person who has been talking your ear off the last couple of minutes as we get things started. Joining me is Mr. Steven Huego. What's shaking, Mr. Huego?
Not much, but I'm actually can say that I'm happy coming off an episode of Raw. That's a fucking change.
Well, maybe your life stops sucking. also with us is the main man of SparkOutMoment.com and the Smack Talk podcast, Mr. Anthony Mango.
Fuck Del Rio, huh?
No. I like Del Rio.
Oh, fuck you then.
One of the many things that has been a controversial opinion coming out of Hell in a Cell and continuing into tonight, I got to say, if I having one big thing that I'm feeling is after tonight's Raw, it truly feels like we are in a new chapter for WWE. They talked a lot about last night about things being finished. You know, The Undertaker and Brock Lesnar being finished, Bray Wyatt and Roman Reigns being finished. And tonight, it really felt like a lot of things moved on, and that was very good to see. But let me ask you fellas, what is the number one thing you took away from Raw tonight? Tony, why don't you start us off?
Fuck Del Rio, huh?
No, I actually like him.
Oh, well then, fuck you?
Fuck me.
Actually, I don't know. I don't think that I took anything away in particular as like the big thing for the night. I had some things that I didn't like, some things I did like. You know, a lot of stuff sort of just happened, and I didn't really get like a hate or love it kind of feel for this episode.
Grapple This Productions in the chat room is there saying, ooh, ooh, Mr. Carter. He totally gets the Mr. Carter reference.
Mr. Cartier, he says.
Mr. Cartier. Mr. Cartier. I think that's how the African-American gentleman said it.
Which one was he? I can't remember their names.
The one who was African-American.
It wasn't no shit.
I think his name was Boom Boom Washington.
Who was Horshack? Was that one of them?
Horshack was the one who went, ooh, ooh, ooh.
Yeah, that one.
It's the Welcome Back Cotter post show 30 years after it's been canceled. Wago, what'd you take away from Raw tonight?
Damn, did they do a good job of just building Roman Reigns up. From this very start of the show, they just built up him and Seth Rollins, and it worked very well tonight. I finally think he's over that hump, and I'm looking forward to seeing where this feud goes.
Well, we will discuss everything that went on the show. As I said, we want to know what y'all out there got to say. We got the chat room talking about freaking Connor too. Oh, what have we done? Another shout out to Epstein. Yeah, here we go.
Oh, Epstein. Yeah, I forgot about Epstein.
He's the one who just died a couple of years ago.
He died?
Yeah.
Huh.
Wasn't he the one that also did that celebrity boxing match against fucking Screech?
Jesus, I can see that happen.
And like, Epstein was like mad old, and Screech was like, you know, older, but he was still like, you know, a relatively young guy. He just like demolished him.
Like a 35-year-old against a 60-year-old or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, yeah, it was something like that. Well, we actually have a fun run to talk about, and this is what we're going into. I think the biggest thing we got to talk about is the fact that we have a new number one contender, and his name is Roman Reigns. Very interesting way they got this set up, too. They promoted before the show went on the air that we were going to get one. And they announced that it was going to be done through a Fatal 4-Way. I didn't see anything else announced about it besides that. But the way they did it is all the people who won matches last night, besides Brock Lesnar, had a series of matches where the winner of those got entered into a Fatal 4-Way at the end of the night. And we'll review each one of those matches as we're going through this. But most importantly, it led to our Fatal 4-Way with Roman Reigns, Kevin Owens, Alberto Del Rio, which, by the way, he returned last night, if you didn't know, and Dolph Ziggler. Very high-paced Fatal 4-Way match. Fun way to close off Raw. I mean, typically when you get these multi-man matches, it's like a six-man tag or something like that. Fatal 4-Way is a good way to shake it up, and especially with something with such major implications on the line. WWE Champion Seth Rollins was at ringside, by the way. After the match, Roman Reigns and him had a very intense stare-down with Roman Reigns looking down at the belt and Seth Rollins grasping onto it where you could see the fear and his fingers linked around it. Very, very good way to send this off, and good way to set up Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins. Tony, are you happy with our new number one contender?
Yes and no. I think that there's a big glitch in this, and that's Dean Ambrose. I don't understand why they've got
Roman. Are you sure the Roman glitch isn't Solomon Crowe?
No, I don't think he's doing that anymore, is he? I think he like changed his hair, and he's just like a generic douchebag now or something.
Okay, Adam Rose.
But I think that that's a real big issue that they need to address, and they need to do that next week, if not on SmackDown. And probably both, because who the hell watches SmackDown? But, like, the biggest problem with this whole thing, you've got two members of the Shield while the other guy's just cheering one of them on. Shouldn't he be fighting for it, too? And I know he didn't wrestle last night, so they couldn't put him in there like that, but I mean, there was nothing that stated that they had to do the kind of thing last night with the winners and all that. Well, I do like that, by the way.
They
I think that
built
was good.
Him up as supportive buddies.
Yeah, so, but he's been doing nothing. And I don't know what their mentality is for that.
Well, there's probably a bigger picture, because let's face it, Dean Ambrose is going to turn at some point. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. Those two are going to be at odds. And the longer they're buddy-buddy, the more impactful it's going to be when either guy turns and those two face off.
See, I don't think it needs to go that way. Why can't Roman win it and then, out of respect for his buddy, makes him, you know, first dibs at getting a shot at the title? Or Dean Ambrose wins the Royal Rumble.
That's what I'm starting to think.
And then, like, the two of them going against each other as babyfaces? That'd be a huge match.
Well, if he's winning the Rumble, there's your answer, Tony. They're keeping him out of the picture because they've got bigger plans.
I just hope, if that's the case, they do something to kind of address why he's being ignored right now, instead of just, like... I don't like when WWE does something because it's fake, and the way that you're supposed to believe it is because you're supposed to know that it's fake. You know what I mean? Mm. Like, there should be a reason why he's not fighting for this.
Because he didn't have a match last night, and therefore he was not involved in the tournament.
Yeah, and he understood that, and he knew his best friend was, and his best friend was, like, you know, really had a shot for this earlier in the year and got screwed. He's cheering his buddy on. You know, they're best bros. He's not going to let his own vain and egotistical goals get in the way. He's going to cheer his buddy on.
Until January.
Until January.
Yeah.
I mean, no, it's until he wins the title. And then I guarantee, mm-hmm. once he has that title in his hands, you know, I still think they can keep an air of respect, but he's going to be like, all right, well, you lived your dream. Now it's time for me to try to live my dream.
Agreed.
Wago, you got anything else you want to add to that?
No, not really.
Do you think this is where Seth ends it?
I think Roman Reigns takes the title, and I think it's about time. We finally got over that hump where Roman Reigns is everybody's worst enemy. He's still going to get booed in the smarky towns, but no one cares about them because they're all fat and live in their mother's basement. So, yeah, I think good times are ahead, and I'm looking forward to seeing how Roman carries the title. It's a big question, and I think it's going to get answered come Survivor Series.
Well, last night we were pitching for Survivor Series, them doing the long-awaited Shield triple threat match. You think there's still a chance they could work that in there, or is this better off just being one-on-one, Roman and Seth?
There's always a possibility, but something just makes me feel that Dean Ambrose is screwing him in this match. It's going to be one of those cases where the Authority are fucking Roman Reigns over, and Dean comes out to even the odds up, and then the swerve happens.
Swerve!
I don't see that happening.
Salwyn the Doom saying, hey, me and two members of the podcast live in smark territory. It's true. We live in the pizza belt, which is basically smark territory. Kind of funny how they go hand in hand like that.
It's got some sweet pizza and some decent opinions.
Indeed. Well, speaking of decent opinions, I want to remind you guys that you can dial in with your phones. We're going to be opening up those phone lines around 11:30. So if you want to get your voice heard about what you thought about Raw tonight, dial area code 760-512-7247, and you'll join us here on the most interactive post-Raw experience available, the Raw Post Show on MegapowersRadio.com. All right, fellas, let's break down some of these matches that set up this Fatal 4-Way, because I got to say, one highlight of this Raw tonight was that we got a lot of kick-ass wrestling matches. The first one we had was the one that got Roman Reigns in there. He went over on Kofi Kingston, who I don't know if we've even had this match before. It felt very fresh, and it was a fun match to watch. And there was this amazing feat of strength where Roman Reigns had Kofi grappled around just one arm. He just lifted him up in the air and dropped him down into a sit-down powerbomb that I honestly thought should have ended the match. It was such an intense moment, and the crowd was so sucked into it. Eventually, when they did the spear afterwards, it felt like it dropped down a bit. So I think that was a missed opportunity. Plus, you know, you're having Roman Reigns win two matches tonight. It helps to have him do it in two different ways. But whatever. It's a minor thing. I think overall these guys had a good match here. Kofi Kingston still holding on to this spot that I'm happy he's finally found after all these years. Tony, I know you're the big Kofi fan.
Kofi is good. I mean, he's always been good. Back even when he was in ECW, the guy had a lot of potential to work with pretty much anybody. And I think that him working with Roman Reigns here is just another example of that. I mean, Roman's good too. So it's not like, you know, he's working with Kali or something like that. But these guys had good chemistry. They put on a good match. I enjoyed it, even though I knew that Roman Reigns was going to win, which a lot of times that can kill a match for me. You know, just the obvious, all right, well, just get to the point kind of a thing. But I liked it. And even though I'm disappointed I lost a little bit of points for Kofi losing, I'm happy that it ended up being a Roman Reigns win.
Grapple This Productions in the chat room says, kudos to WWE for switching format, allowing for 15 to 20 minute matches as opposed to the 7 to 10 minute squash matches. Wago, what do you got to add?
I'm going to echo what Grapple This Productions said. Tonight was just a very wrestling heavy show and it worked out great. And this first match was a perfect example of that. Roman Reigns and Kofi Kingston knocked it out of the park, and for everyone that likes to criticize Roman Reigns and say wrestling's one of his weaknesses, I don't think that's the case. I think he's steadily improved, and he was always good, and now he's getting to that next level, and it's just in time.
He's certainly been showing himself to be able to go at a main event level, which is something that I think a lot of people doubted him on. You know, he was always a good guy to have in your tag matches and whatever, but being able to sustain himself at a main event level. I remember there were people who were just sweating bullets over how that WrestleMania main event with him and Brock was going to go.
Yeah, but see, if you're on the main event level, that's one thing. It's different when you're on the Neville level.
77. This was the first match of the night. There was actually a little bit of a setup with it, with the Authority coming out, inviting out Seth frickin' Rollins, telling him how proud they are of him and how he's taken out all the competition. What can you say? It's the Authority starting off Raw. You guys have actually anything to say about this?
I was okay with it being as long as it was, even though it was too long, because we got so minimal segments later on in the show. Mm-hmm. And I'll give them credit. For once, their opening segment did what it's supposed to do. Set up the rest of the night.
That's fair. And to give them another credit in the bucket there, they actually announced this whole thing before they went on the air, so it's almost like they had a game plan before the show started.
Yeah, instead of just kind of like, well, I'm so thankful that people started arguing with each other, because shit, we wouldn't have had any matches tonight.
It's convenient how it always ends up like that, huh?
Man, talk about such a fucking dramatic change, like, from the last few weeks, though. Power positivity.
New Day, of course, having one of their great promos here as well. They tell Roman Reigns that his hair is booty. His clothes are not on fleek. Tony, you agree? Are his clothes not on fleek?
I don't know what the hell fleek's supposed to mean, but New Day's saying it, so yes, I agree.
I don't know if fleek has anything to do with those weird bumps that Roman Reigns has on the back of his outfit now.
Maybe it's a unicorn thing. I don't know. We gotta love that. I mean, your greasy hair is booty, and fucking Kofi Kingston sitting there, like, pointing his ass towards him, and he's like, look at it, look at it.
For them to fucking insult people's appearances, though, after having that t-shirt. Bit of a stretch.
Grapple This Productions chiming in again saying, Roman Reigns, I believe he's following up, he really is talent-wise. Last night at Hell in a Cell wasn't a high mark for Reigns, but tonight, even through 27 super kicks to the dome, Reigns showed that he's got next-level chops. That's true. Besides Roman Reigns, every guy in that match has a defined super kick.
Now, if he has next-level chops, how far before he gets Neville level chops?
About 77.
77 chops sounds like a lot.
I just do it on Tough Enough. No one will sell them.
Okay. We had Cesaro going against Kevin Owens. This was an indie fans' dream match to happen on Raw, and they made it so. You know, a lot of rolling around on the ring, a lot of reversals. Very, very fun match. My highlight of this was when Cesaro did this amazing springboard spinning uppercut thing. It just looked fucking beautiful. There's also this part where he did a spinning uppercut outside the ring, and he like flips over the guardrail out to the crowd and starts like high-fiving people in the crowd. And it's like, how could anyone say this guy doesn't connect with the crowd? His hand is obviously connecting with them with the high five. No, but he also is just a fantastic hype man with the crowd. I don't want to say it. Okay, well, pushed fucking Cesaro. It's getting ridiculous. The guy is fucking awesome. I'm fine with him taking the fall here, though. Kevin Owens was a good guy to move on. He's your Intercontinental Champion, and it was a very hard-fought, awesome match. So, fellas, you got anything to add to that one?
Cesaro needs to win the U.S. title.
From W?
Yeah.
Well, I think you're just happy if anyone wins it from Del Rio.
Yeah. Good match, though. I like this a whole lot. These two can go well together. You know, they've done it multiple times, and each time it's been fun. Cesaro, great in the ring. He's been even better lately. Like, I don't know. There's something about, like, his energy's different. Do you guys notice that?
Oh, yeah. No, he looks like he freaking had Jerry Lawler's kickstart.
Maybe. Celebrities. Ah, shit. But he's, like, got a lot of pep in his step. Like, maybe they did tell him that he was going to get a push or something, and he's just sort of like, oh shit, well, now I'll go even harder or something. And Kevin Owens, of course, is the fucking man. Like, the guy's done like no wrong since he's been a part of the roster. But I'm glad that Owens won here too. And I actually, for a little while, I was thinking that Cesaro might end up winning it. So there was that little bit of unbelievability behind this that that I liked quite a bit too.
I'm not gonna lie, I totally thought he was gonna win just because he would then be the fall guy in the fatal four way.
Mm-hmm.
So that would have made total sense. Wago, you got anything to add before we move on?
I will say that these guys have had matches before and I've been disappointed. This one knocked it out of the park. I don't know what was off prior to that. I don't know if they just had an odd chemistry, but tonight they found it and shit. I'm glad who won. I think Kevin Owens still needs to be kept strong, but I'm with you guys. They need to push Cesaro. And Cesaro versus Del Rio? I actually kind of like that.
You know what? That would be cool, but well, you know what would be cool about that is the fact that it would be Cesaro going against Zeb Coulter's new protege.
Oh, yeah, that is a cool element they can play into it.
I don't think they'd even acknowledge it.
No, they probably wouldn't. But another reason Cesaro probably should have beat Kevin Owens is because that could have set them up going forward for an Intercontinental feud, because I don't know who the hell Owens is feuding with at this point.
Oh, we didn't know who he was feuding with last point. They didn't do a very good job of fucking promoting it.
Well, I think these guys would have a really good Intercontinental title feud. Maybe they'll still set that up. I don't know. Match tonight was great, though. Next one we had was Alberto Del Rio, our new United States champion, going against Neville, the man who is at the Neville level. Was not high enough for him to win this match tonight, though. Alberto Del Rio getting the victory after this really crazy like double foot stomp into Neville's face in the corner. they said, oh, we've seen Del Rio do this before. I was like, we have? I don't remember this being like a finishing move for Alberto Del Rio.
I don't ever remember it being a finishing move. I think he has busted it out in a couple of main events, but I don't think it's ever polished someone off.
What move did he do?
It was kind of like Sasha Banks's thing where, you know, the person is like doing the tree of woe and then she like jumps up in the corner and drops knees into them.
Mm-hmm.
Only instead of doing that, he just double foot stomped his face.
I love the reaction.
Pretty vicious.
I love the reaction it got with the crowd because it was one of the. It was the crazy pop.
Well, then Neville like came undone and then just like pile drove himself into the mat after. It was a vicious looking finish. It again, excellent random finish on it. If that's not like a permanent finisher for him, it's just something they went with for like one out of the blue. Good choice. Same thing they should do with Roman Reigns, but this was a good execution of that. Again, another good wrestling match, and completely would have expected it with the background that these guys have. Other thing to note is that Zeb Coulter has coined a new term, the Mex-Americans. That's what they are. It's the combination of Mexico and America to form a new nation. They're the first two citizens.
I fucking hate it.
Yeah, it felt
I can't
kind of
stand it. It makes no sense. It's so forced. It's so forced. Why does he need a manager? He's capable of talking. His gimmick fucking sucked before, but it doesn't mean he can't do something new. What I will give Del Rio credit for is he went back, got in like shape, like the best shape I've ever seen him in, and he's looked like a legit ass kicker for once. He's kind of lost the, he was almost a comedy heel in some points where he was winking, he was all cocky. He's got more of an angry edge to him now, and it works.
Tony, you agree, or you, I don't think I have to even ask.
all right, well, I watched the promo, and my first thoughts were, we're going to do fucking Mex-America. Like, that's the big thing that they spent a couple of weeks or a couple of months or whatever building up to this. Now that's their best idea that they could come up with. Just, well, one guy's Mexican, the other guy's American. How about Mex-American?
Like, shit, that's the type of thing that you've spit out when you're going, all right, well, that's the one idea that everybody knows that we could do. What else can we do that actually is worth a damn?
It sounds like a new menu item at Taco Bell.
Or Chili's or Chipotle or something like that. Like the new Mex-American sandwich. Yeah, the Mex-American burger where it's got like a quesadilla on top of it or something like that. Like I lost it at that point.
Seven Albert's Mex-American cuisine.
And then Del Rio, I've never thought he was really that great on the mic. I mean, he's far better than a lot of the other people. Like, I'd rather watch one of his promos than the people that really used to struggle with it, like the original Sin Cara and stuff. But at the same time, I'm still just, I don't care about Del Rio at all. And he's got such a huge, huge mountain to climb for me to actually start giving a shit and give him some credit, to the point where he started talking and I immediately just, I didn't care anymore. And I was like, I don't even know if I want to watch this match. And I tried watching it, and about midway through, I went to go take a piss. I was just like, you know what? I could wait, but I'm not going to. I'm just going to do it in the middle of this. I like Neville. I think that Del Rio does look better than he's ever looked before, but it's going to be a long time before I give a shit.
Wazili is saying forced politics angle is forced. Absolutely. Grapple this production saying, I think Tony is overthinking this. This was obviously just thrown together in the last minute.
I don't know if I'm overthinking it. I just really want to complain about it.
Especially because it's Del Rio. If they had just done this with, like, Callisto,
I don't think. Then I would be like, oh, it's stupid, but it would just be like, oh, that's dumb. That's the ugly for this week. It's heavy and move on. But, you know, the only way this is going to get worse is if Sheamus and Del Rio tag up.
Well, the way they're doing this international stable, I wouldn't be surprised. Oh, man, they're talking about bringing together all nations. Then again, didn't Alberto Del Rio call Neville like a filthy immigrant?
Yeah, that's true.
That was actually a pretty funny part of their speech. They're just talking about bringing the country together. And then cuts to Del Rio. He just talks about how he's going to beat that filthy immigrant. All right, just me, I guess. Well, we're going to go ahead and start opening up the phone lines here. We got one more of those matches to talk about, but I think we can go ahead and bring on this caller. He's calling in from the 407. Hopefully I know who this time. Is this Awesome Piano Man? No?
Awesome Piano Man? Who's that?
I don't know. Who are you, caller from 407?
Sorry. It's Awesome Piano Man.
Oh, okay.
You didn't recognize his voice?
I thought it might have been Jeff for a second.
It's clearly not Awesome Piano Man.
Yeah, it's not Piano Man.
How you doing, APM? What's shaking, dude?
Not much, man. Just I was really just calling just to listen to the show, but I appreciate you for taking my call.
Dude, you're one of the number one fans. Of course, we're going to get you some time to get in here. So we've been talking about the Fatal 4-Way matches that have been setting up, or the matches that set up the Fatal 4-Way, I should say, to give us our new number one contender, Roman Reigns. What do you think about our new number one contender?
I'm all for it, man. I'm with you guys when it comes to like the marks that are out there that are booing him. Mm-hmm. I'm really irritated. Like, why are they booing this guy? Like, he really deserves it. Being the number one contender.
I wish everyone could have been there with me and Tony when we were at the Royal Rumble last year when Roman Reigns won. And, like, the entire arena is booing the shit out of this guy, which if you watched it, you know, this isn't news to you. But me and Tony are, like, the two assholes in this one section all the way behind the stage. And we're like, Roman Reigns! Roman Reigns!
People are turning around looking at us like, what?
I'm gonna kick these guys' ass!
I didn't see you guys were jerks. You guys were cheering the right guy, and I don't know. I just whatever. These guys are just. I don't know what the problem is, but I'm all for Roman Reigns winning. I mean, he deserved it. He had a great match with Bray Wyatt in a Hell in a Cell match of all things.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I mean, I'm really impressed.
So, are you impressed with the new Wyatt family? The last couple of nights, they have kidnapped both members of the Brothers of Destruction. Got you intrigued?
Well, it's your guy's fault because I'm more intrigued of the legendary Eric Rowan.
One of these days, man, he's gonna pop. You just gotta keep an eye on that guy.
I am at the edge of my seat whenever I see that white sheep mask. Okay, so I'm all
And then Peyton and I are going to be the only two people in the crowd cheering for him.
Let's go, Rowan.
Those two assholes again? What the fuck?
Rowan rocks. Yeah, we had a very interesting Raw tonight. So let me ask you, awesome piano man, your high point and your low point for tonight's show.
I definitely have to give it to the four-way match. That was actually, the fatal four-way match was really good. That's my high point. My low point, I'll just give it to the Divas. Before the Paige turn, I was fast forwarding, but when Paige turned on Charlotte and Becky, that was actually pretty cool. But before that, I was like, but it's not saying that it was bad. It's just that there was everything else was actually pretty good tonight.
We have to get your opinion on one last thing before we let you go. Actually, the thing we were just debating before we brought you on, Alberto Del Rio. How you feeling about him being back? That's not a good reaction.
Say more proof that APM's the man.
I mean, I would agree with I guess it was like I listened to you guys your review on Hell in a Cell last night, and he doesn't deserve main event status. I say he's talented enough to be the upper mid card villain, but not the main event guy. I'd keep him away from the WWE the World Heavyweight Championship completely. But I mean, like Tony says, he is very bland. He's very one dimensional. Every time he comes on screen, I get bored. So I'm like, and Del Rio.
So you're not going to register for citizenship with Mex America?
No. I mean, what you guys were talking about with the whole international thing. All the international guys just called a team called United or something.
Yeah. And like Zeb Coulter can just keep rolling out in his little rascal scooter.
Right. Mex America's teaching us everything.
Mexican American.
And the next thing you're just going to have like this bastardized flag of like 50 different countries trying to be brought together. Oh, that sounds terrible.
It's just going to be bald.
Well, you know it's not terrible is awesome piano man. Always appreciate you being a part of the stuff we do, man. Always good to hear from you. You have a good night as we move on with the show here.
You guys too. Thank you very much.
All right. Awesome piano man. Our first cool caller we got on here tonight. We hope to have lots more, or at least other callers. If you want to dial in, area code 760-512-7247. We're going to keep taking calls as we go through the rest of the night. But first, bring the conversation back to the panelists here. We have one more of those matches that set up our Fatal 4-Way, and that is Big E versus Dolph Ziggler. Very high-quality match. Again, a match I don't know if we've seen too many times before. It's cool seeing these big, these New Day guys break up a little bit and do these single matches more, because we generally only see tag matches, and even those, it's almost always Big E and Kofi. So it's neat seeing these guys with some single match action. Dolph Ziggler getting the victory with a zigzag after a very, very tough victory for him after getting his ass kicked throughout the entire match. He was selling like $1 million, making Big E look like a total brute. But Dolph Ziggler got the victory here, went on to the main event. Tony, did the right guy win?
Damn right he did. Dolph Ziggler is like one of the best people that you can throw into this kind of situation, where he works well and sells everything that everybody dishes out to him and doesn't win. I mean, I really like Ziggler. I think that he should get more credit than he deserves, has been getting lately and stuff like that, but he wasn't going to win this, and having him beat somebody like a Big E doesn't hurt the New Day. I mean, they're the heels. They can lose and that kind of stuff. And having him in that, he kind of boosts his credibility up a little bit more, which is going to help Tyler Breeze in the long run.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. We had Tyler Breeze and Summer Rae come out, and they had like their own little VIP section set out by ringside. Wago, what'd you think of Tyler Breeze's first Raw appearance?
I thought it was definitely interesting. I'm glad that he's still bringing out the selfie stick, and linking him with Summer Rae is going to give these guys something to feud about. So I'm looking forward to it, because I think the match is going to be sweet.
I'm just going to have a hard time telling the two of them apart.
Just go by either it's a denim and leather, or is it leather and fuzz?
Oh, bad dye job, good dye job.
Oh, there you go.
Which one's which?
Ziggler's definitely the bad one. He always, like, has the horrid roots sticking out. I'm always afraid he's going to cut his hair again and do that Ted DiBiase look.
The slightly bulkier Evan Bourne.
So before we start talking about fun stuff again, there is a segment we should knock out, and it's another one of these Susan G. Komen Rise Above Cancer segments. And I was shocked when they came into the ring and they introduced Titus O'Neil, of all people. But I gotta say, as surprised as I was when Roman Reigns really held himself good through this, Titus O'Neil didn't do too bad either. He fumbled a couple times, but he held it together.
Go ahead, William.
I'll echo Jonna's words on this, because she popped her head into the room at this point. She said, "I haven't watched this episode of Raw, but I can tell this segment is terrible. It would have been beautiful if it wasn't thanks to the chanting."
Then, what were they chanting?
Rise Above Cancer or something like that. I don't know.
See, I have taken to muting these now. I can't stand the commercials, and I realized as soon as they came back and they had people in the ring, I'm just like, oh, and now I'm just going to mute this too. So I'm really curious. You had said in our Mega Maniacs chat that Titus O'Neil called the women something funny or something. What was that?
Oh, well, when they first came back, the crowd was doing the woofing thing that Titus O'Neil does, like, ho, ho, ho. Like, the first thing Titus O'Neil says when his mic goes live is like, "Yeah, we got lots of dogs here."
Like, that's awesome.
What did he call those women?
Anyway, just want to echo my thoughts. Fuck Susan G. Komen. Horrible, horrible company.
You know, and part of me hopes that this is the last one that we have to see, because it's October should be over by the next Raw. But if my memory serves me correct, they always do it for one more after Raw with the pink ropes and all the bullshit. Just to, like, the wish it
Christian
goodbye.
Method.
Just gonna say, the pink rope shouldn't have been at Hell in a Cell. Kind of took away from the fucking cage.
Before you got, like, the blood all over the ropes. Yeah, it looked good. Rise Above Cancer. Bloody ropes. Let's go
be
ahead
worse
and,
later.
Let's go ahead and open up another phone call here. This caller is we're gonna take a risk here. We got a caller calling in from restricted.
Ew.
You never know what could happen with these. So see what we got here. Oh my god, they're in a hurricane. Caller?
Hi, y'all doing today?
What's up, Jeff?
Hi.
No, this is not Jeff today. This is not Jeff.
It's not Jeff today.
This is,
Jeff next week.
This is,
This is Miss Doubtfire?
I'm a Jeff Johnny old good friend of mine. I'm Jeff Johnny good friend of mine today.
Jeff,
oh, guys,
and,
this is awesome. We have on the line.
He just wanted me to tell you today that I've been loving your show recently.
Oh?
Excuse me?
Oh?
That's not oh, it's
You called me an idiot! You called me an idiot! You don't call my friend an idiot! You don't call me that! Stop dying!
Can we get his handler on the phone?
Kid really should have a bell on him or something, right?
Yeah,
wait,
I
still haven't figured out who's calling in here, because all I kept hearing was
it's not Jeff today. That's who it's not.
No, but I believe he said it was a jolly old good friend today or something like that. That was his name.
I don't know.
Man, people name their kids weirder and weirder things nowadays. Like jolly old good friend today. What kind of a name is that?
And he must have got really bullied in school, though.
Isn't the avatar's going to call in now?
Let's talk about another one, though. Let's talk about The Miz that was in the back playing WWE 2K16. Comes out tomorrow, their final-ditch effort to try to hype the game. At first, these were pretty insufferable with just, you know, The Miz being full of himself. Like, hey, guys, watch me play this game. I'm super cool. I'm going to play Stone Cold Story Mode. Woo! And it all comes together in the end where we actually get a brief appearance by Stone Cold coming in and just patting Miz on the shoulder. It was weird. I don't know. It was even shorter and more awkward than his appearance last week. It was odd. Wago, I think you actually have caved and said you're going to buy this game tomorrow. Are you still on that?
Mainly just because I don't have anything fucking else to play.
Why don't you get fucking Star Wars Battlefront instead?
When's it coming out?
Early November.
I'll just buy both. Fucking third world, first world problems. What was he talking about? Oh yeah, this horrible segment. I didn't like it at all. You've got Stone Cold. There's so many better ways that you could use him. Just have him stun some fucking jobber and promote the game, drink some beers. That's what we want from Stone Cold. We don't want to see him palling around with The Miz. Waste of fucking Stone Cold's time.
Yeah, I was really disappointed that he didn't give him a stunner.
I don't think he, like, could have done a stunner on that hard floor.
Yeah, they should have done some in-ring segments, and Austin could have just, like, beat his ass.
Oh, you mean so like when Austin was in the ring last week? Rather than just introducing The Undertaker?
Well, this time, actually do something, yeah.
Nope.
It's just really odd, though. Like, The Miz is not the character that would play as Stone Cold. The Miz would play as The Miz.
Yeah, he would totally play as The Miz.
Now, this is a segment that I'm overthinking.
Let's move along, then. We had a backstage segment with Paige and Charlotte, and I guess someone else was there. I don't know. Paige and Charlotte were making up, and they decided to get back together for another match of Team PCB. Or Team PCB. Sorry for Wago there. Might be the last time I get to say it like that. Against Team Bella. Team Bella getting the victory here. Nikki gets the rack attack on Becky. Paige, upset, attacks Charlotte and Becky after the match. Lays them out with the Paige tap out and does the hell's her submission called again?
Paige tap out.
Oh, the Paige tap out, yeah. So the way, what the hell's her DDT called then?
The Rampage.
The Rampage, yeah. Well, she did those. And then that. Expert analysis. terrible match. The Paige turn was cool, but it was cool.
Woo.
Yeah. That.
Fucking, there's one big gripe I have about this. That segment before the match was goddamn terrible. We gave the Bellas so much shit for their horrible, horrible acting. And this was just as bad as any of that. They're fucking... How did Paige cut that awesome promo just a couple weeks ago and then is doing that shit?
Well, she was acting as a babyface. We determined, and when she acts like a babyface, she's terrible, but when she's a heel, she's good.
I'm getting the feeling that the worst acting that she's probably done is that stupid Santa movie that she's in.
Yeah, at least she looks cute in it, though.
Does she?
I mean, she looks cute, like, tonight, too.
Like, I mean, like, Paige is definitely not an unattractive girl, but I'm looking at those costumes for that elf thing, and looks like a costume that I would have fucking been able to make.
Yeah. I think she's supposed to be, like, an elf in a mall, so I think it's supposed to be crummy.
She's, like, a mall elf? She was, like, a real elf.
Well, I think it's, like, they're both the same thing.
Oh my god, I hate this even more now.
I don't know.
Fucking... This is my North Pole!
This is my presence!
This is my mall now!
The best part of this whole thing, you know, top to bottom of this diva section of this, was Becky Lynch just being like, yeah, well, you don't fucking pay attention to me, huh?
Okay,
it did feel like that though. She's like, yeah, you fucking walk past me, you fucking bitch, you fucking
and then the crowd going, we want Becky, and she's like, yeah, yeah, fucking damn right.
Caitlin Ferris doing a good follow up saying she's the anti-elf.
Anti-elf took me a second. I agree with Grapple this though.
Yeah, but Neville is a hobbit.
How good did Neville's ass look in tonight? Oh, Nikki's ass. Yeah.
Nikki's not Neville's.
What the fuck's wrong with you, dude?
Well, Grapple this had something about Neville in the next line. So it, like, threw me off.
Yeah, Freudian slip, huh?
Got that ass at Neville level proportions.
Yeah, Nikki's ass is on a different level than Neville.
What happened to your Roman crush?
Oh, it's still there, but you know, his hair is booty and his clothes ain't on fleek.
He just really likes that Neville, Neville keeps throwing that cape every week.
Oh, goodness. We had another six-person tag, this one between the Dudley Boys and Ryback going against the new international group that we got going of Wade Barrett, Rusev, and Sheamus. I really don't really understand what the goal is with this group or what their motivations are, why they even came together. They're not really establishing that very well, and they're already looking like a bunch of jabronis. Last night, they lost, and tonight, they only won because of a roll-up. Are you guys feeling any different about this?
I thought the match itself was fun. I loved the three clotheslines that they all did together. That was a fun spot. I don't see what the end result is, but I enjoyed this match.
If they're the international stable, can we call them the Punch Pals?
Sure, we'll give them a podcast.
Sweet.
So here's something of interest. This is the second week in a row the Dudleys have lost to a sneak roll-up. Fucking supposed to be like great veterans going for their 10th tag team title run. And this is the shit they keep getting happen to them.
Sneak. Roll-ups.
Fruit.
Roll-up. This is Ango for a fruit roll-up. Sounds delicious.
Kind of happy, though, that Wade Barrett got the pin because he lost last night. So that was, it sort of balances out a little bit. But I think the most awkward thing about this was seeing Rusev all happy and like smacking him on the abs after the match. He's kind of like, hey, buddy, yeah, yeah.
And you picture these guys like going out to Panera Bread after the show?
Right. And Ryback wants to come along, and they're like, we've heard these fucking stories, no.
It's like, oh, we don't have any room left in our car, but it seats four. sorry.
But you guys have a bus. Yeah, only one bus. Sorry, Ryback.
Can I go to Panera Bread? I don't know. Can you order off the menu on your own?
We have like salads or something, right, guys?
We have one last segment to talk about here. Bray Wyatt comes out in the dark, puts his chair in the ring, sits rocking there, talking about the Undertaker being taken last night. Kane comes out seeking revenge, but just as he reaches the ring, the lights go out, the whole Wyatt family greets him there, beats him down, kidnaps Kane as well. And as we come back from commercial, we see them dragging him into the fog, presumably to bring him to the Undertaker. And, like, you know, they're all just going to chill and, like, have a clam bake session. It's like, yo, Kane, man, we need you to hold the bomb.
Yo, I've got serious munchies. I'm, like, beyond the eater of worlds at this point.
So I was hoping you could, like, turn into concessions, Kane, and, like, bring me some food. Not hot dogs, though, man. I heard those give you cancer. Man. So, you don't have anything to say about this, guys? Kane being abducted by the Wyatt family?
I could see this ending up being a scenario where they abduct someone each week, and those are the people that make up Team Undertaker to take on the Wyatts at Survivor Series.
Who else would they take?
That one guy.
That's weird. I don't know, because there's, like, they could incorporate Randy Orton in this, but they can't abduct him because he's already gone. But maybe they already
isn't
did.
Isn't he legit injured though?
Yeah, but it could be something minor.
But the reason he was written off TV was because they had attacked him and he didn't show up at an event. Maybe he was the first person that they abducted.
This is true.
So,
but where are these people? That's what they never explained anything about where these people are. Were they released? Are they like in a shed somewhere in Alabama?
I don't know. He said he's eating Undertaker's soul, so I don't know if he's just going backstage and gnawing on him or some shit.
Bray, can you, like, let me go? I think my wife's
probably... Oh, man.
I think my wife's probably worried about me.
I don't know, some kind
that's
of
a fucking weird mental image.
Undertaker just, like, deadpan asking, like, can you let go? Bray gets, like, way too into, like, method acting.
Hey, Husky, what are you doing? Do you guys think this is going to be Survivor Series, or do you think they're going to pan it out even longer?
I could see this just being a Survivor Series match. I think they want a gimmick for Survivor Series, and it's the celebration of Undertaker's career. This will just be one more hurdle for him, and then he'll probably go away until Rumble or WrestleMania.
It's either that, or they're going to stretch this out, and Undertaker's WrestleMania opponent's going to be Braun Strowman.
I fucking just hope Strowman? Not.
Yeah,
just I don't Strowman. Think it would be just Strowman. I think that'd be a 4-on-4.
I don't think they trust Strowman enough.
It's like that ever stopped them before?
All right, fair enough.
So I forget they put out Giant Gonzalez with him there with 1 year.
And Mark Henry.
And they were going to team him up with Rodney Mack.
They was going to team him up with Nathan Jones to take on A-Train and fucking... Was it the Big Show? And then it ended up just being a handicap match because they're like, nope.
Yeah, so it's not like they've always put him out there with the most stellar opponents.
Yeah,
put him out there with Brock Lesnar who gave him a fucking concussion. Kicked his ass last night, too. All right, let's open up the phone lines again. We got some more callers here. We got a caller from 606. Caller from 606, you're live on the Raw Post Show. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hey, guys, it's Trent, Grapple This Production.
What's shaking, Trent? What you got in your mind?
Well, that's why I wanted to hold off on and call until something came up that mattered. I feel y'all that maybe Survivor Series for, you know, Taker, Kane, Brothers of Destruction. I don't know. This can play. This one can play 3-4 months leading up to WrestleMania. I don't know. I like it. But I'm waiting for the WWE to screw it. But creatively, this one can play for a while. And I'd like to see them slow burn it. Keep Kane off for a while, Undertaker off for a while. Bring them back, the week leading into Survivor Series. Set it up and then build it, you know, moving forward. See what happens with it. I think there's a lot of creativity that they can play around with here.
I agree, especially with such, like, fictional, like, mystical characters. You could go a lot further than you can if you were just doing this with, like, I don't know, Tyler Breeze and Drew McIntyre.
Yeah, they can really gimmick this up and play it up so they can get that Road Warrior pop.
Yeah.
By the way, nice little joke there. They're going to do a slow burn here with Kane.
Touche. And I wasn't even thinking about that. But, yeah, I'd like to see them slow burn this because, you know, they really have gone, you know, thematically with something like this in a while. Because this has all the remnants of, like, Raven's Flock, Raven's Nest.
Oh, yeah. You know, Mystery of Darkness.
Like... Yeah, exactly.
Or what was Kevin Sullivan's thing back in the day? The Dungeon of Doom.
Yeah, Dungeon of Doom. Well, take it to TNA with the new church. I mean, you know, this whole theme has been played out in every organization. And it could, like I said, if they slow burn it, build it up, this could really pop. And I think Tony said it could have a Road Warrior pop on it.
Yeah, it'd be great. So you said this is the only thing that mattered. You didn't like anything else on the show tonight?
Actually, no. No, tonight was, compared to what the last 6 months, was a really good show. And again, as I posted in you know, the chat, I love the fact that WWE is going back, and especially last night, Hell in the Cell. How many matches were there? 8 matches that covered 3 hours worth of content? And in each match, you know, even the Divas match, had some potential to it because they allowed them to wrestle. Some of the matches, you know, like the Bray Wyatt, the Roman Reigns, that was a throwaway match because it was too plodding. There was no real psychology involved. And you could have, you know, but that storyline has been burnt out at this point. So even with some psychology,
it's hard to get invested. Much
better do what?
It would be hard to get invested with how long that's gone on, no matter what they did there.
Yeah, exactly. So, but no, I love the fact that they've changed the format and gone more towards, you know, actual wrestling matches, 15-minute to, you know, upwards 15, 17-minute matches, as opposed to the 5 to 10-minute squash match. And they're getting away from all these segments, and thank God for it, because it's just killed it. You know, where people would have said, you know, PG killed wrestling. Yeah, but it was more this sports entertainment aspect of it that killed wrestling. So for WWE to say, let's flip the script and see what plays, I'm loving it. No,
I'm gonna go ahead.
I thought it was brilliant.
I'm going to go ahead and say that whole Ziggler, Rusev, Summer Rae, Lana story killed sports entertainment. I'm going to hope that's how this all played out.
Ain't that the damn truth?
So, Trent, I need to get your opinion on something that we're all very divided here. What do you think about the return of Alberto Del Rio?
Well, see, I made the comment in the chat. I don't know if y'all saw it or not. This actually has potential, especially if they give it a UFC spin, which right now is very prevalent, especially in the WWE, because you've got Del Rio, and then, you know, with CM Punk jumping into UFC, you got Brock Lesnar. You know, you need to bring it back more towards, you know, the athletic side, the sporting aspect of it, rather than sports entertainment. Like, one thing I noticed in last night's Hell in the Cell, they didn't even do the count while they're down on the mat. And see, all these elements, you know, that have been practiced since, you know, 1900 leading up till now, has built the psychology, and it made you get invested in these matches. So, you know, it might be something as simple as, you know, if you're in a tag match, you have to hold on to that rope, in your corner. You know, stuff like that. It's just the little nuances that make
they
you
need to slow down. They need to turn the lights on brighter. Like, there's all these things that they just like think they know better.
Yeah, they gotta just get a good grip on things.
Well, and they've gotten so far away from it. So, but and so, anytime you see it coming back, you know, I'm like, oh hell yeah, please, because you know you want to bring people into it and to buy into it. You know, you have to give them a reason to. And then Tony made the comment tonight where he was talking about there was a surprising lack of unbelievability. And that's the thing, because with wrestling, you are suspending disbelief. Because, yeah, you know Roman Reigns is going to win. But, you know, like the Dolph Ziggler match tonight, he had the potential to go over. Kevin Owens had the potential of going over. To read that element there, wow, you know, you get invested. Even if you don't think you do at first, you're like afterwards, you're like, damn, I kind of bit on that one a little bit.
Oh, what are you, Bray Wyatt, biting on The Undertaker?
See, I want to see how this one plays. I think it really can play, man. I think that, and I mean, obviously the Wyatt family's going to go over big no matter how bad the WWE shits the bed with this one. But and that's the end game. I mean, let's be honest about that. But I want to see how this plays because it really does have the potential. Going back to Cesaro, though, no, if they incorporate some of the UFC element to it and, like, take him back to the submission, you know, just like with the absence of John Cena tonight, and I made the comment as well, Cena needs to just fade away for a couple pay-per-views and make that reunion run, or the homecoming run. And I think it'll serve him well. You know, the fact that they, you know, Del Rio. But Del Rio coming back, if they can incorporate some of this UFC element to it, I think it can play. It, creatively, there's different ways you can go with it. Ultimately, is he going to wind up being more like Sheamus again? Probably. But, you know, creatively, they have options now that they didn't before. And he has been much too much of like a ham bone, you know, as a villain. But there, you have to realize that you have the Intercontinental title, U.S. title. You know, you need someone in those, you know, higher mid-range, you know, title fights. And he can serve that purpose. And I think serve it more effectively now with this restart on him than he has, you know, in the past. Because, admittedly, the WWE said we just don't have anything for him creatively, as they said with Dolph Ziggler.
Indeed. And there's a lot of these guys they could be doing more with. As you said, interested to see how a lot of this plays out going over the next month as we head to Survivor Series. Trent, we got to wrap up. We got a few more callers we're going to try to fit in before the show is done tonight. But before you go, give us your high point and your low point for tonight's show.
Oh, high point. Roman Reigns. Well, just
retard alert.
Really?
For Roman Reigns.
I think the main event was, well, just the night in general. It went over. That would be the high point. Low point, I didn't see the talking segment of the Divas, and thank God for it, because that, you know, if they just wrestled, they're, you know, they got potential. It's when they actually try to get them to act or to talk. Oh, Jesus Christ. So that would be my low point, even though I missed it, and thank God for that.
Indeed.
But, guys, thank you for taking my call, and I'll be right back in the chat room.
All right, we'll see you there. Grapple This Productions. Trent, you have a good night, man. Thanks for calling in. We got another caller. We're going to just go ahead and fast forward on to another one here because we hit all of our topics about Raw. So if you want to get your voice heard, few minutes left, dial up area code 760-512-7247. And we're going to take our next caller on. They're a caller from the 412. Who's this?
It's JD in Pittsburgh, guys. What's going on?
JD from Pittsburgh. What's up, JD?
Nothing. What's going on, Payne? How you doing tonight?
Oh, how do you know my name?
Payne, I've talked to you before.
You have?
On your show.
I don't remember ever having a JD from Pittsburgh. Are you guys?
No, I don't know what he's talking
Maybe
about.
You guys weren't as popular, however, as Far Radio, however, on Monday afternoons. However, we're the best show.
Some piano man, awesome piano man, awesome piano, awesome piano man, awesome piano man.
I remember.
Yeah, it's all coming back to me.
So I guess you don't remember.
I remember also Piano Man.
Remember what?
Remember when I called? Yeah, you're so funny, you guys. It's just a shame that you guys, however.
Well, we'll never know what's a shame because I fortunately had to cut that caller off. It's weird. You call in here the first time, don't even know who you are, act like you're freaking running the place, thinking you deserve your own segment. What kind of asshole does that? Am I right?
Yeah, he's a prick, but let's move on to more important things.
Well, we don't have much more important to do, actually. We're all out of topics here, so we only have one final thing to do, and that is the good, the bad, and the ugly. We talk about the best part, the worst part, and the most embarrassing part of Raw. If you have a good, bad, and ugly, drop it in the chat room. We'll come to ours.
Wow.
Yes, it is the good, the bad, and the ugly. We ought to invite all you out there to give your good, bad, and ugly in the chat room there. In the meantime, us hosts will do ours. Wago, your good, bad, and ugly.
My good, the ascension of Roman Reigns. They've put him on the right track, and tonight
the ascension. I was going to say the good was the ascension. I was like, I remember them being in the background for that Rise Above Cancer segment.
Oh, were they? I didn't even notice them.
I was like, that's what you're giving them the good for? It's like, oh, the ascension made TV.
Shit, I'm giving them an honorable mention. For the bad, I'm giving it to the Divas promo. Terrible. And the ugly, the way they use Stone Cold. One of the biggest names in the business. Very underwhelming.
And the way they use The Miz, too.
Mm-hmm.
Tony, you're good, bad, and ugly.
Good. I'm going to give that to The New Day and their opening promo more than anything else because I laughed again. I mean, no surprises there. They've been making me laugh pretty much every single time that they come out there. Love the idea of the whole, like, your greasy hair is booty and you've been doing the same thing with the same colors for 3 years and change it up, son, and whatever he said. I thought that was great. The bad is going to be a kind of a combination of things. We had, like, virtually no Dean Ambrose, who I like, but we had two matches of Del Rio, who I don't like, and two segments that involved Paige doing something. I didn't like that either. So we got four things that I didn't like when it came to that, and really nothing for a guy that I think is being overlooked. My ugly. Susan G. Komen promos.
Woo!
I cannot stand this anymore, and one of the main reasons why is I hate that fucking song that they keep playing.
Oh, it's fucking terrible.
Can I change my vote for my ugly?
This is my song! I like to shout things! It's just fucking... I can't stand it anymore, and I unmuted it for like a split second, and I heard Titus O'Neil say something about, well, these heroes here, and I was like, nope, muting it again. You're not heroic for having a disease. Sorry.
I don't even know what Tony stands.
Jeez.
That was heavy.
It's the overuse of that word that pisses me off. It says meaningless now when you say that kind of thing as people that say fun for the whole family or strong female character. So if everybody is something, then nobody is.
So let me ask you, if someone gets a surgery to put a dick onto themselves, does that make them a hero?
Why would they be doing that?
I don't know. People have done it.
I'd have to have more information.
Are you really oblivious to what I'm talking about?
Fuck what me. You it? Missed the Caitlyn Jenner reference, you dumbass.
I thought you were making a reference of the tattoo that Lesnar has in the middle of his chest.
Oh, Jesus fucking Christ. I think the chat room's going to give that an ugly there. Let's read the chat room's good, bad, and uglies, though. Caitlin Ferris says the good was the main event. The bad was Paige. The ugly, Komen crap. He screen calls it crap. Silent One the Doom says, good, my friend, seeing Harper looking all spiffed up and shouting, oh, did he leave to get clean? What?
What?
I don't know. Bad, Stone Cold, not ending that promo with a stunner. The ugly, whatever the Wyatts are doing to the Brothers of Destruction in their dungeon. Also, Paige turning for a second time in 2 weeks. Kenneth Cade, his good is the main event and the Kane and the Wyatt situation. The bad is the Divas. The ugly, the pre-recorded Stone Cold spot. Lots of participation, the good, bad, and ugly this week. Good to see. My good, bad, and ugly. My good I'm going to give to the Fatal 4-Way main event. Awesome job by all involved. And I'm even going to say the whole setup with all the four matches beforehand. Everyone brought their A-game tonight. A lot of these guys, after fighting very hard-fought matches last night and then having to do double duty tonight, nothing but kudos to all those guys involved with that. My bad, I am going to give to the Stone Cold segment with The Miz. Just the use of one of the biggest stars, possibly the biggest of all time. total waste. My ugly, though, I have to give to the Mex-American speech. You guys forgot about that one, because that one should be up there.
Yeah, I'm kind of trying to put that, like, in the past.
Well, with that, we're going to start putting this show in the past. I don't really have any games prepared. I promise we'll bring the games back next week. So with that, we're just going to do some regular old plugs. So, Wago, do your shit.
All right. To find me, just go to StephenWago.com, at StephenWago everywhere else, Facebook.com/StephenWago. And that's Stephen spelled with a PH. If you do it the other way, you're a communist.
Good, Tony.
All right, guys, go to smarkoutmoment.com for all the wrestling stuff. We've got Smack Talk coming up a little bit later this week. If you haven't checked out our review for Hell in a Cell, make sure you go to our YouTube or our iTunes or Stitcher and check that out there. We're going to be talking about scariest characters in WWE history. So if you have any suggestions on what we should talk about, leave those in the Mega Maniacs chat. We'll be talking about that Wednesday night, most likely. Ooh. Check out fanboysanonymous.com as well for the geek culture stuff that we're fond of. And who knows, maybe another episode of the All Talk Show might be coming up soon.
All right, folks, and if you enjoyed this production of the Raw Post Show here in Mega Powers Radio, join us every single Monday night as soon as Raw goes off the air. Tune your browsers in to MegaPowersRadio.com for the most interactive post-Raw experience available. We'll take your phone calls, tweets, chat room comments, questions all throughout the night, and whatever other crazy, zany stuff we decide to get ourselves involved with. This week, you know, we had a good involvement of Welcome Back Cotter talk. So who knows? Maybe next week we'll start talking about Facts of Life or something. If you want to hear that, join us then. Or you could also subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, YouTube. Just search for Raw Post Show on Mega Powers Radio or find links to those on smartoutmoment.com. And with that, folks, we will see y'all next week. For Tony Mango, for Steven Wago, my name is Mike Payton, and we'll catch y'all on the flippity-dippity. Dickery-dop. Awesome P and O-Man. Awesome P and O-Man. Awesome piano man, awesome piano man is awesome, yeah, and he is a man. Awesome piano man is awesome cause he is a piano
man.
All right, good night, everybody.